Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to study your word. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be softening our hearts, that we would really take this message to heart, that we would begin to understand it and begin to live it out well. Lord, thank you so much for this passage and for the type of life you are equipping us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be looking at Galatians 6, verses 11 through 18. We're going to be finishing up the book of Galatians. I hope that you guys have been challenged by the book of Galatians, that you have been pushed towards Jesus and away from legalism, that your heart and your love for Jesus and what he has done for you has been renewed. Next week, we are going to be starting the book of 1 Thessalonians. It is a very good book. I have been in total geek mode this week, studying and reading and learning all I can about 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's going to be a very different book, though, from Galatians. And Thessalonians is the book where Paul spends the most time praising what God is doing in the church's life. Galatians, the book that we're finishing up today, is the only book that does not have a "I thank God for what he's doing in you" thing. So hopefully, as we enter Thessalonians, we will be encouraged and not just convicted, but encouraged and convicted. We'll start with our reading, Galatians 6, verse 11. "See with what large letters I am writing to you, with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing of the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." Paul starts off this passage in verse 11 by talking about what large letters he's writing with. What Paul would often do with his letters is he would dictate them to someone who would write them down for him. And then often at the end of the letters, he would start writing in his big letters. It's believed that he may have struggled with his eyesight, that that may have been one of the problems that was going on. And so he would write with these large letters, and people would be able to say, yeah, Paul definitely wrote that. That's his big doctor's handwriting that no one can read, even though it's that big. And they knew that it was him who was writing to them. And so what is Paul going to say in the closing argument of this letter that has been a brutal bashing of legalism within the church? A church that he has not praised even as much as the Corinthians, which were people who were getting drunk off communion wine, and one man was sleeping with his stepmom. This tells you how horrible he thinks that legalism is. How horrible it is that we make rules a higher priority than Jesus. Jesus must be the center and the focus, which everything in our Christian life permeates out through. It flows out of who Jesus is and what he is doing in our lives. What he says is that the people who are making rules a priority, those who are making circumcision a priority, what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to show off. They're wanting to make much of themselves. They're wanting to have themselves lifted up as very religious, very amazing Christians. They're wanting everyone to look to them and say, wow, I can't believe how good of a Christian you are. And what I want us to grasp as a church is that when we come at Christianity, when we come at our lives with an attitude of, I want everyone to see how awesome and amazing I am, then we are not living out a Christian life. When our goal is to be lifted up rather than Jesus to be lifted up, we have a serious problem. I want you guys, if you grasp anything out of Galatians, if you've gained anything, it's to make much of Jesus, to lift Jesus up, to show off Jesus, not ourselves. How many of us have approached people that we didn't think were living the right way, and instead of pointing them to Jesus, we just pointed out their sin and told them that's what needs to change. That's what these Judaizers, these legalistic believers were doing inside Galatians, is they were coming in and they were saying, you need to change this, you need to change that, but they weren't pointing people to Jesus. All it was moral conformity. And all moral conformity does is make a good bunch of religious people who do all the right things go to hell. It shows people what's wrong in their life and what needs to be right in their life, but it doesn't point them to Jesus, who is the only one who can do anything about it. And what we see is that Paul unveils the motivations of those who are approaching the Galatian church shooting moral conformity rather than transformation from the inside out by Jesus. Their reasoning, the reason that they're pushing for these things are so that they would not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Jesus says that we cannot follow him unless we pick up our cross and follow him. What he's saying is you cannot receive the forgiveness of the crucifixion without yourself also dying to yourself. Living in Jesus, letting Jesus live through you. Paul says elsewhere, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And too often, I think we as Christians, because it's easier, we have a tendency to make our moral religious checklists and say, this is done, this is done, look at me, I'm a good Christian. It's easier to do that than it is to pick up your cross and let Jesus lead you in your life. It's easier to follow the rules than it is to say, Jesus, have your way with me. And I am telling you that it is so important that you grasp this. Always point to Jesus. Always. When you're correcting someone, when you're encouraging someone, when you're talking about what's going on in your life, be pointing to Jesus. Because as soon as we stop pointing to Jesus, we will get caught up like the Galatian church. We will lose our focus. We will stop paying attention to Jesus, and what we will do is we will become good moral people who are pointing people to hell than people in Jesus pointing people to heaven. And the reason they did this, and often the reason that we do this is we say we don't want to be persecuted. If our focus is on Jesus, we will receive some persecution. If we pick up our cross, there will be beatings that we will take. Living a life for Jesus is not some sitcom from the 70s where everything goes well, and even when mistakes happen, there's always a happy smile on our face. Oh, well. Life isn't like that. Life in Jesus is not like that. There are going to be hard times. And when we forego hard times and let go of Jesus to do so, there's big trouble to be had. There will be people who will not like you if you point to Jesus rather than moral rules. Trust me. Not everyone will like the praise of Jesus. Many people in our churches today love the praise of Jesus along with this list of moral rules. And what Paul is saying throughout the entirety of this book is, It's Jesus. Let him change you. Let him transform you. Let his Holy Spirit convict you of sin. Let his Holy Spirit change you, and don't let the rules be the issue. Let Jesus be the issue. It's all about Jesus. And what we find and what we have found throughout this entire book is that there is often those of us who have a moral checklist that we try and boost ourselves and stand upon. We always emphasize one thing and neglect the others. And what Paul says here is, even these people who are bothering you, telling you that you have to be circumcised, even these people, they don't keep the law, but they're trying to make you keep the law. We cannot keep the law. In Romans, Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can keep the law. So why is it that we try to make God happy by keeping the law rather than letting Jesus make us presentable to God? It's all about Jesus, letting his Holy Spirit come into us and change and transform us and guide us. It's a lot easier to check off our box on the moral checklist than it is to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in this situation? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to go forward? And one of the reasons they want this moral checklist to be passed throughout the church for everyone to mark off, yes, I have been circumcised, I am a good Jew, I am a good Christian, is so that they can boast. So that they can say, look, I led them to this point. Look, they stopped this area and they've moved on to this area. And look what a great person I am in guiding them in this direction. I get to boast in what they have done. How many times have we said or heard things said, I am so proud of that person. They did this and they did that. But Jesus isn't in the mix in how we're telling it. It's not Jesus has changed and transformed them. They're no longer getting drunk and getting high. But I'm so proud of them, they stopped drinking. If it's not Jesus working in them, then it's not worth being talked about. It's certainly not worth any of our pride. And what I want you to see is one of the most powerful statements in this entire thing is verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This is what I want you to see. What is appropriate boasting? What can we do? We often boast. We often say, look at what I've done. Look at what's been done here, and it's a result of me. What types, when can we boast and when can we not boast? We cannot boast any time that it points to us. We can only boast when it points to Jesus. When we're saying, you know what? It was so cool. God did this and he let me be a part of it. Me, who can't lace my shoes. Without the help of the Holy Spirit. Look at what he's done in me. Look at what he's done. Based on his sacrifice on the cross, I was able to be a part of seeing this happen. Because of the cross of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit working and changing and transforming us and our church and me. We saw Crystal last week come forward to become a Christian. It's not me. You all have heard my sermons. I'm not that great. But it's Jesus. And Jesus is working here in this church. He's working in Hammond. And I'm just blessed to be a part of it. And I think one of the things that happens in our church is why we stop growing is we achieve some level of success and we say, look what I did, rather than look what he did. It's why so many of our churches are dead and dying is because years ago we spiked and we saw God doing something amazing. And we took the credit for it. We said, look what we have done. Look what I have accomplished. And until we get our head screwed on right again, until we focus on look what he is doing, we will not, as churches, be resurrected from this dead and dying state. It has got to be about Jesus. As long as there is pride in us over what we have done, over what we have accomplished, over how we did it, we will continue to die. What must happen is we must put the focus back on Jesus, because without him, we wouldn't even be a part of this thing. The church would not exist without Jesus. If Jesus had not come down to earth from heaven, leaving the constant praise of his angels to become a lowly, impoverished child to a poor, unknown family, and then to continue most of his life in relative obscurity without sin, dying on the cross for our sins and rising from the grave, we would have no reason to meet here. So if it's not what Jesus is doing through us, if it's what we have done, we're in trouble. I really do think that is why I think it's somewhere around 85% of churches in America are plateaued and declining. It is because we have lost our first love. We have lost our focus on Jesus, and we have made it our focus on traditions, on rules, on whatever, anything and everything but Jesus. And we have patted ourselves on the back for doing such a good job. The only appropriate boasting is, look what Jesus allowed me to be a part of. Now, if anybody has any right to boast, it's Paul. He was a very religious Jew. He kept all the rules. He was so passionate about the Word of God that he went around killing and imprisoning Christians. And then he had a personal encounter with Jesus, not like most of us have, where Jesus quietly speaks to our heart and our mind, but instead, Jesus showed up, knocked him on his back, and blinded him, and spoke to him audibly. If anybody has a reason to boast, it's Paul. He's written so much of the New Testament. But he says, I will boast in nothing except for Jesus on the cross. Except for what Jesus has done. This is a turning point where we need to make decisions. If we are not Christians, if we don't know Jesus in an intimate and personal way, if he is not our Savior and our Lord, where he has final say over everything in our life, then we need to hand it over to Jesus and say, it's all yours. It's got to be all yours. And for those of us who are Christians, those of us who have lost our first love, many years ago, we walked down the aisle, we prayed a prayer, we got baptized, we did whatever. Those things that we did became our source of pride. And we have stopped pointing to Jesus and we have started pointing to traditions. And what every one of us, including myself, who is guilty of doing that, today is a day where we have to say, Jesus, it's all yours again. I'm dying to myself. It is not about me. There is wonderful news. In verse 18, he talks about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor, undeserved love. We deserve hell, death, and every horrible thing in this world because we have rebelled against God. But instead, he gives us breath, he gives us life, he gives us a new life. And in verse 15, Paul says that the only thing that counts is a new creation. It doesn't matter if we change the outside. What matters is that Jesus changes the inside. And I'll let you know, the outside will change. If Jesus changes the inside, the outside will change. Miss Rosalie has told me about a lady years ago at this church who would come in, and she had the shortest short skirts. And one day she met Jesus. And slowly, as time went on, her skirts became longer and less suggestive. But it happened not because people were nagging her about her clothing, but it happened because she had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus changed her from the inside out. We need to spend less time focusing on how people need to change and more time on the only way that the change will matter for anything. And that's if it's Jesus who is doing that work in us. I hope that you have been blessed by the book of Galatians. I know I have. I've been challenged. God has kicked my rear from here to Timbuktu over this book. And he's reminded me that it's not about anything but him. So today is a day where we get the opportunity to make a decision for him. Will I live for myself? Will I live for my own glory? Will I live in fear of other people? Or will I live like Jesus and Paul, who were beaten so that I could receive this message and be changed by Jesus' Holy Spirit? We want to give you the opportunity to come forward and let what Jesus has been doing in your life known. As Caleb leads us in our invitation. And our invitation is exactly this. Come join us on the journey of letting Jesus live through us rather than us living for ourselves. It's not going to be an easy journey, but it is one that God will give us the strength to accomplish. It will be one that God will give us the endurance to persevere to the end, to finish well, if only we let him. Brother Caleb. Oh, yeah, prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word, to be challenged by your scripture, to have our love for you and the good news of your sacrifice for us renewed in our lives. Help us to love you more and for you to be our focus rather than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen.